Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I am so blessed to have you being in tune to this broadcast again. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And that is what we are to do, praise the Lord. You know, the saints have to continue in the power of the Holy Spirit, whether it be witnessing, prayer, preaching, teaching, or caring for others. Remember, Jesus came to seek and save that one which was lost. And the saints, he came that we may have life and it more abundantly. So, Pastor Gerald Jones and myself, Carnita Smith, we will continue in A Wise Witness from the perspective of how to follow up in the Word, our private life, local church, outreach, and most of all, in the Spirit. So I encourage you and pray that God will empower you to love and lead all people to life change in Christ. So we're going to get right to our broadcast. And I want to welcome again our brother in Christ, Pastor Gerald Jones, as he continues to lead us as a wise witness. Thank you again, Pastor Jones, for taking us along this broadcast and taking us along this journey as a wise witness.
Well, I'm excited about the fact that we can continue to share one with the other and the Word of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit concerning witnessing and being a witness. For we know that this is a mandate in this day and time that we not only talk it, but we walk it. That we don't only live it, but we live it, and that it will go far beyond just our mouths to our heart and in our action as to what God would want us to do. I want to just reiterate from the very beginning that we said that our core scripture was taken from the book of Proverbs, and the 11th chapter and verse number 30. Do you have it still, Sister Carnitia?
Yes, I can locate that real quick. Proverbs 30.
Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30.
Oh, okay, I've got it here. And this is how it reads. Proverbs 30, and we're reading from the NIV, and it's Proverbs 11, verse 30, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Sure, I have the right. 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise.
And so when we look at that passage in its context, we can't help but to see that the writer, the human writer, is contrasting righteousness versus wickedness. And the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. It's something that continues to grow. And then he reemphasized it by saying, he that winneth souls. That's by any time we see TH on the end of a word in Scripture, it is with faith. So he that winneth souls is wise. And so I want to be a wise witness in these last and these evil days. We want to be a wise witness. And when we witness, We are praying that God would illuminate the minds of the unbeliever, that he would stir their hearts to the place where they would want to make a decision that would revolutionize their life. And that after that convincing and convicting point in their life, that they would move to the decision of not only just knowing about God, but knowing God for themselves and accepting him as he has already accepted us in the beloved, in our belief in him, and that they would be saved. So we talked about how the power of God's word will not only convince a person, convict a person, but his word will convert a person. So when we are transformed into the new man, old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. We start leaving the way we were and going into the way we ought to be. And so when we lead people to Jesus Christ, we can't leave them alone. It is our responsibility to pick up the torch and mentor and lead and disciple them to a greater life and a better place in God. And that's where we come to Acts chapter 2 again. It's kind of like we've been going through the book of Acts and going through Romans and the Gospels. But we want to just look at this passage. This is one of my favorite passages in the book of Acts, along with the first chapter where it talks about, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 tells us that. So we know that the power of God, Holy Spirit, in our life will cause us to be the witnesses no matter where we are, in our home, in our hometown, in our state, in our country, and into the uttermost parts of the world. That is the demand or the mandate for the believer, is that we go to the world with the gospel. And so once we start witnessing and leading people to Jesus Christ, and I pray that in this session you have learned how to take the word of God, share the love of God, the word of God with people, and lead them to Jesus Christ. And now it's important for us to follow up with them. And Sister Carnesha gave you my outline. We're going to follow up in the word. The word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible says all scriptures is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. You can find that familiar passage of scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, where it tells you that God's word is inspired. Now, it's difficult for people who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior to really understand the word of God. And that should not be a surprise to a believer who has already studied to show themselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, but rightly divide the word of truth. It shouldn't be surprising to you that people who are not believers may know the history and they may know the facts of Scripture, but because they haven't put their faith in the facts, they have a problem following the God and living out what they know to be true. So it is difficult for them. And 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 14 through 16 tells us that it is difficult for the natural person to understand and accept the word of God. It takes a new birth. It takes being born again, not by intellect only, not by emotional only, but by the will. So when a person will to be saved and they ask Jesus Christ, forgive me for my sin, come into my heart and save me, it is at that point that that person's life begins to change. We might not always see it right away, and they may not always feel it, but it's a fact that by faith they move to another dimension in their life. So I was reading in Acts chapter 2, and it talks about, I want to look at Acts chapter 2. I'm going to start with verse 40, and then I'll go to 41 through 47. Bear with me here. Acts chapter 2, verse number 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And then Peter goes on to then those who gladly received the word were baptized. That is so important that we know that when a person receives the very word of God through preaching or teaching, or somebody just talking, witnessing to them, that when they get saved, they can then not only receive the word of God, but they go to the next step of being baptized. Now, baptism in and of itself does not save a person. That is not the way they are regenerated, just by somebody taking them and placing them in water or sprinkling them with water or pouring water on them. That does not save them. What saved them is their faith in the fact that Jesus was born, he lived, he died, he was buried, he rose again, and they asked Jesus to forgive them for their sin and come into their life and save them. So salvation comes before the person gets water baptized. But once you have become a Christian, it is one of the ordinances of the church that you would be baptized. So when a preacher or a minister or a deacon takes a person and baptizes them, they put them under the water and bring them out. The word baptizo, they are immersed. They are buried in the water and submerged in the water and then brought up out of the water. So baptism is symbolizing, and it is showing that just like Jesus died on the cross, he was buried. The body goes down underneath, and then there's a resurrection. They come up. And so when we baptize people that have been saved, we are showing that he died, he was buried, he rose again. And so in this scripture it says that the people that gladly receive the word, when you've been saved and you know you've been born again by the Spirit of God, you are to be willing to be baptized. And the Bible says, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to the church. What a mighty move of God. When people repent and let everyone, and they are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, when they are baptized, what a day of rejoicing that is. And in this day, it was a phenomenal, it was a magnificent thing that took place, that these 3,000 souls were added to the church. Now let's just move a little further. Verse 42 says, and they continued if I had to put a theme on this night's message, it would be continuing power. They continued. They went forward, as the Bible says, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. Steadfast. They were dead center on the apostles' teaching, on the doctrine, and on the fellowship in the breaking of bread, which is the next thing that we know that Jesus asks us to do. If you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you're to be baptized. The next thing a person needs to do is to observe the Lord's Supper. It says, as often as we do this, we do it in remembrance of me until he come, of him until he comes. And so basically, these two ordinances are to be observed to not only commemorate the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but to remind us of the fellowship and the relationship that we must have with Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and with other believers. So we do this as an ordinance in the local church, and it is all based off of the teachings of the Bible, of the teachings of the apostles, of the teachings of the local church. It says, I put down that when we begin to follow up with a person and leading them not only to be baptized, not only to be observant of the Lord's Supper, but they should also learn to pray, read their Bibles, and also come to church. In this day and time, it seems that people just don't think that there is a need to attend church, to attend a local Bible-believing, Christ-exalting church. It's amazing that we see this, but it's really not that surprising, because in the last days we know there will be a great falling away. But as believers, we ought to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the Lord. I want to quote that scripture so correctly. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And I'm really moving fast tonight, but 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verses 58 says, well, I'm going to be reading verse 55 to 58. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verses 55 to 58. O death, where is thou sting? O grave, where is thou victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so we love the Lord, so we ought to labor in the work of the Lord. We who have been born again are to come to church for worship, but we leave out to work. We ought to come to church to encourage and be encouraged, but we leave out to exalt and evangelize. We come to church so that we can enjoy the blessings of being with other believers, but we leave out of church to encourage other people to become believers in Jesus Christ. So church has its place. You must get in the Word. You must be in private prayer and Bible study, and then in the local church. Now, you can tell a church, a real church, by the Word of God being preached, by the praise and worship to the Lord, by the transformation of the life of people through the teaching and the preaching and the living of God's Word. That is the church. And then I must tell you this, if it in the church is not only just coming to a local building, but the church triumphant goes out to other people, ministries in the prisons, ministries in the nursing home, ministries on the street, ministries in the apartments, ministries in the hospital, ministries on the foreign field, even on the local field. There are people we are meeting every day that are struggling with their marriages. They're struggling with their children, their domestic problems. There are people that are struggling with job situations. There are people that are struggling with just trying to finish college or school. There are people that are struggling with alcoholism and drug and abuse and psychological problems. What do we have as a believer is the gospel of God. We have God's only Son presenting eternal life. So those people who are struggling with these things can know that Jesus Christ is still saving in the midst of all that they're faced with. I was excited when I was reading that what happened after they continued. It said, then fear came upon every soul. This is back in Acts chapter number 2 again, verse number 43, Acts 2 and 43. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things common. Great fear, great joy, great power. When God is at work, we can't help but to visualize his great power, his great grace, and his great joy. And this is what people in that day was experiencing. It says in the 44th verse, now all who believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among, and as everyone had need. This is something that can really help in this day and time. When you come to church, you might not have a lot, but if you give your time, give your talent, most certainly give your treasures, you will immediately begin to see God giving it right back when you give it in faith. Don't give it to be seen or showing off, the word ostentatious, you praying to be seen, or you fasting to be seen, or in the book of Matthew's that tells you that they gave and we shouldn't give to be seen. But when you give in secret, he will reward you openly. When you pray in secret, he will reward you openly. When you fast in secret, he will reward you openly. So if we really want to see the power of God, let's do what we do humbly and secretly and watch God do some great things openly and publicly. Do you agree, Sister Smith?
Amen. Yes, I do. I agree totally. It is so, you're so correct, or the word is so correct in saying how we are to be in agreement with our actions, to reach out to others in so many different ways that God has gifted us to be able to do so. And I just believe the more that we give, the more we receive from God, good measure, pressed down, taken together, and just running over. And I tell you, the blessings come in so many ways, but you hit it spot on when you said, do not do this as a show, for show, form, and fashion. But I like what the word says, brother. He says, don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. And that speaks volume to me. And I live by that. And I think so many of us should. I'm talking about the body of Christ, that we give with a loving heart and a willingness of heart.
Yeah. And so and it's amazing how when you have the right attitude, how immediately God will show forth. I have to tell his testimony. There was a brother that gave some money not too long ago, quite a bit, to help us with our ministry and with what we were doing. On this past weekend, we took some children camping. And I'm saying that because that brother and I was talking today on the phone, and we're planning to do another project. And in the midst of him talking to me on the phone, he was at the library, and he stepped out so he wouldn't make noise on us in the library. And as he was talking to me about what we were going to do in the upcoming project for our children going back to school, this brother was telling me, he said, man, I'm going to give you some money to help with this project. And he said, I'm going to give $150. Well, as he was telling me that over the phone, a lady was passing by him, and she said, did I hear you right? You're going to give $150 towards some backpacks for children to go back to school? And he said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, here's $100, and she just walked off.
Hallelujah.
it's
hallelujah.
Isn't that amazing? I mean,
that is,
and I'm
so
saying,
amazing.
That is what I believe when we see the writer here talking about that we had all things in common. And it says, and they divided them among all as everyone had need. My Lord, he can meet the needs. We talked about it the other day. We said, if it's God's will, it's God's deal. So we need to stay in his will so he can take care of our bill. So usually when our bills are over our heads, somewhere we've gotten out of his will. Now, we won't admit that, but it is true. So let me just read this letter. I'm going to move on because I have some points that I really want to give to help us when it comes to following up with believers, with new believers. It says, So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food and with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And so we want to continue to pray that the Holy Spirit will make us wise witnesses and soul winners in these last days. Opportunities will come. People will cross your path. Individuals will be seeking a word. They will be seeking prayer. They will be looking for a church to attend. They will be trying to get to know God in a personal way. And so it will be our responsibility to let God have his way through us to win people to him. He can do this. We have to let him do what he wants to do through us. Now, here's a few examples, maybe helps that can help you who are discipling believers. Discipling meaning you are leading them and they are following the doctrines and the teachings that the Bible teaches about the Word, about God, about Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, about church, about salvation, about the rewards. These are teachings from the New Testament and the Bible as a whole that will hold a person and keep them as they move forward. You need to sometimes go and buy a new believer a Bible. If they don't have a Bible, you can afford to go buy that new person in Christ a Bible. Get them one that is big enough for them to read it. Give them a Bible that's easy for them to understand. Give them a Bible not only a New Testament, give them a completed Genesis to Revelation Bible. Make sure that it is a holy Bible. It not just a Bible. Look on it, make sure it says Holy Bible. And you can get a good Bible from a great Christian bookstore. That Bible, and I'm going to just share, I've given away hundreds of the Christian Life New Testament with the Master Outline and Study Bible. It is a book that Porter Barrington put together. These outline notes that I'm giving you, some of them are coming straight from this New Testament Master Outline studies. It are the Open Bible. It has great, clear studies about the Bible. So give them a Bible. Give them a New Testament. I tell new believers, Sister Smith, that if you read the book of Genesis, you will find out all about what happened in the beginning and all about life. Genesis talks to every issue. It's the book of first mention. So read the book of Genesis. I say read the book of the Psalms if you want to learn how to pray. A person reading Psalms will learn how to pray, to praise, and to participate in church service. I've never met somebody that read Psalms that didn't know how to talk to God and listen to God talk to them. Psalms, the book of Psalms. Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is a book about wisdom. It will help us. If you got it's 31 chapters. I say challenge your new believer as you work with them to go through the book of Proverbs. Proverbs has 31 chapters. If they read one chapter a day for 31 days, they will become wiser because they've read God's word. We read it to be wise. We believe the word of God to to be saved, and we practice it to be right with God. I'm giving you these thoughts because I believe that if you give the person a Bible, it's going to change their life just like the Bible, the Word of God, have changed our life. It is important that if they go to the New Testament, that they read the Gospels. But I say start with the book of John. I was taught that John has 21 chapters, and I know it to be true because I've read it. 21 chapters in John. If you read it for 21 days, it will become a habit of reading God's Word. And then lastly, I'll say a lot of people are seemingly afraid to read the book of Revelation. But if they were listening some weeks ago and heard Reverend Crowe talk about the seven churches out of the book of Revelation, right now that book should be being read and understood by every believer. Read Revelations. Don't be afraid to read Revelation. It's the only book that tells you if you read it, you'll be blessed. My Lord of glory. So I wanted to say give them a Bible. Next, explain to them. Take time to give those thoughts when they're reading. What does it say? What are they looking at? What are they observing? Number two, when they're reading the Bible, what does it mean? Sometimes they don't know the meanings of some words. Look it up. And if they have a concordance or Bible dictionary, they can get a better understanding of the meaning of a word. So we've given them the Bible. We've asked them to read it, to see what it says. We've asked them to study it by finding out the meanings of words, and then we'll ask them to apply it. How does this, what I've read, what I've seen, what I understand, how does this apply to my life? Most of the time, we take the Bible and we rush to trying to apply it before we understand it. We try to give an explanation before we understand what it is actually saying. So we need to do what we call, when I was first a Christian, an exegesis. You go into the Word and you pull out what it's saying. You don't eisegesis, in other words, read into it what you feel it say. You want to find out what it says, what it means, and then what it means to you. Now, once you have given the person the Bible, you've explained to them the importance of studying it and reading it, then you want to help that person to start memorizing scriptures. Tell them to start with small verses. Tell them to start with things that they can retain. Every child should know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That the Word of God is to be hid in our heart that we might not sin against God. We need to get back to memorizing scriptures. Even the Word of God says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We need to remember scriptures. So you want to give them scriptures to memorize, because when they get into some troubles with sin or with problems that come of faith, the fleshly desire, the Word of God will help us in every time, every situation. I always remember when Jesus was tempted, he reverted back to the Word. And you can find that in Matthew's chapter number 4. I think I talked about that earlier in our lesson, how Jesus dealt with the devil when he came to him. Matthew's chapter number 4. When he was tempted, it says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. The devil is always going to come with that word, if you are. He tells Jesus, if you are the Son of God. Jesus knew who he was. When the devil comes to you with a lie or with a challenge or a temptation to do something that God didn't tell you to do, to say something God didn't tell you to say, to go somewhere that God didn't tell you to go, when he comes to us with these temptations, and he will come, use the word that Jesus used. But man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. He said, and then the devil takes him up to a high holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, here you go again. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, the devil will use the word, but he'll use it cunningly to try to change your mind from what God actually said and what God actually intended, so you can do something that God didn't intend. And he said, he'll give his angel charge of you. And their hand, they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. But Jesus says unto him, it is written. Now Jesus knew the word. We ought to know the word. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil takes him up to an exceedingly high mountain and show him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and says to him, all these things will I give. You got to know something. The devil can't give you nothing that's worth anything. Anything we need, God already gave to him. If you get something from the devil, trust me, he's going to want to get something back for what he gave you. If you will fall down, which is his ultimate purpose, is to get you away from worshiping God to worshiping something or someone else other than God. And if he tried it with Jesus, who are we that he's not going to try it with us? Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Use God's word. So getting back to the point, when you have given the person a Bible, you have explained to them how to study to show themselves approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. You have then taken the time out to also help them to memorize, show them that they need to memorize scriptures. Then you need to teach them how to do what you did in leading them to Christ. Teach them how to lead other people to Christ. Start out right. Stress the fact that it is important for a Christian to lead other people to be Christian unashamedly. Now, you may be a little nervous at first, but you have to continue to teach them how to lead people to Christ. when you go out witnessing, one person is talking and sharing the word, the other person is praying and interceding for the person that's witnessing. You take the disciple, the person that you are leading and that you are following up with, teach them how to lead other people to Christ. Teach them how to write their testimony out. I was made to write my testimony. What is my testimony? I was lost. I was going to hell. I was religious. I didn't have a relationship with God. I knew about God, but I didn't know God. That's my past. Now my present. He arrested my soul. I accepted him as my personal savior on a hospital step. I united with a Bible-believing church. I started going out with the brothers to lead other people to Christ, to preach on the street. And then lastly, we began to get to the place where we were able to lead people in Sunday school and teaching. And their life will continue. We have to help people along in their Christian maturity. Help them by showing them. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's what the Psalm 107:2 says. Encourage them to be a witness. Encourage them to speak for the Lord, to talk for the Lord. I mean, people talk about everything else. Talk about football, basketball, baseball. Talk about cars. Talk about men. Talk about women. You know, talk about a lot of stuff. How about just let's talk about Jesus? I'm at the point now, Sister Smith, where I just want to praise God for these past weeks of witnessing and talking about witnessing and knowing that if it had not been for the Lord who's been on my side, I don't know where I'd be. But I do know God is a good, a great, a holy, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God. And I got to know him through his Son, my Savior, Jesus Christ. And I feel his Holy Spirit moving right now on the heart of somebody that is a Christian, but you want the best out of life. You don't want to be a mediocre Christian. You don't want to be a lukewarm Christian. You want to be on fire for God. And the only way that we can do it is by continuing in the apostles' doctrine, receiving the word of God, being baptized, observing the Lord's Supper, and witnessing for Christ.
Amen. Brother Jones?
Yes, ma'am.
I think this would be an appropriate time for us to pray prayer salvation for somebody who may not know him for themselves, for themselves. Could you do that for us?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
If there's someone that's lit, if you are someone that after hearing these words out of God's word, that you are convinced that you need Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this is the time that we can pray with you to accept him. We've said it's as simple as ABC, admit, believe, and confess. We said that the scripture says that if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. We've said that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That he was born, that he lived, that he died on the cross, that he was buried and rose again. And if you believe this with all your heart, your mind, with all of your being, you can say this prayer, Lord Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all sinners. And I want Jesus to come into my heart and save my soul. I repent of my sin. I know that Jesus died. I know that he was buried. I know that he rose again. And I know that he's coming back. And I want to be a child of God. I confess with my mouth. I believe in my heart that he is Savior. And I want him to be Lord. And there may be somebody that knows him as Savior. You've already prayed that prayer before. But you feel the urge and you feel the need to get closer to God. And tonight you want to pray, Lord, I'm saved, but I want to be sanctified. I want to be filled with your spirit. I want to be controlled by you. I want to be led by you. I want to be guided by you. And tonight I'm asking you, Lord God, to control my life. And you're God hears your prayers, and he answers them according to his divine will. And Father, I want to praise you and thank you for those that have accepted you as Savior, for those that have been saved and have accepted you as the leader and the guider and the director of our lives. I want to continue to pray for Sister Smith, and for this ministry to the heart, mission for the heart, from the heart. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to use us. We admit we cannot do this without you. We can't lead people without you. We can't disciple them without you. We can't preach. We can't teach. These are things you know we can't do, but we know we can do all things through Christ. So we want it to be done through him who strengthens us. We need the strength. We need the ability in your name. Nevertheless, not our will, but Lord, let your will be done. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just want to thank God for our brother in Christ, Brother Jones. I just sense your heart through these teaching lessons. Every week, your heart just resonates through the airwaves in this lesson. And I just encourage you to continue to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in the most beautiful way that you do, because it definitely shows through your teaching and your preaching. It's just a passion of yours that definitely comes through you. And I tell you, for those of you who are listening live to this broadcast, you really need to share this broadcast with someone, because it is archived. People can listen to this broadcast at any time of the day, at any day of the week, and just allow with what you are experiencing through Brother Jones, just allow it to bless them, to shower their soul, that they would come to know Jesus in the pardoning of their sins. And if they know him, that they will want to grow in grace through this broadcast, through this message. And Pastor Jones has been with us. We have been teaching this broadcast, A Wise Witness, for 7 weeks now. It is a beautiful teaching track for someone to have in their library. And I just encourage you to revisit this broadcast and just allow it to bless somebody and you as well as you go back and listen. It's just been such a blessing. And Pastor Jones, I so appreciate you bringing this broadcast every week.
I thank God for this ministry. I thank God for you and your steadfastness, your discipline, your diligence and dedication to this. We really pray that God would continue to use you in this ministry, this way of communicating. We're going to be continuing to fast and pray and lead people to Christ. It's a joy when people pray and accept Christ as their Savior. And when people do not, I've learned to not force it, but have faith that there will be heart change and they will make a rededication if they're Christians that's going straight. And if they've never been Christian, that their minds will be changed and they will become a child of God. So thank you for allowing me these opportunities to teach the Word of God, and I believe what I'm talking about. Sister Smith?
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I tell you, we had a little bit of a technical difficulty, but I thank God that I'm back with you. I apologize for the little interruption, but Pastor Jones, I know that you have to exit the broadcast, but I just want to thank you again for your faithfulness and your steadfastness. But those that listen, you dial in and you listen live online every week, and you have not failed God in being diligent in doing so. And I just want to thank you, and I can't thank you enough for the mission of this broadcast to continue to go on. And it truly is a mission from the heart. And I thank God for you as being listeners, but most of all, as we go out into the vineyard and work, that we would please our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we continue to carry the Word of God and pass it on from bosom to bosom, from heart to heart. And that is our mission. So always remember that the grass withers and the flowers do fade away, but the Word of God will remain forever and ever. And we are so anticipating the return of Jesus Christ as we wait patiently and excitedly for His return. So go into the vineyard and work diligently as lights that hold bright. So thank you again, and have a blessed week.